Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We are making a change this Sunday. We are moving out of Epiphany and into the season of Lent. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Epiphany. Epiphany is that aha moment where what was once hidden is now revealed. Sometimes we go through life and we kind of have certain expectations. We expect certain things to happen. And when it doesn't happen, whether it's in our daily life or when it's in part of our church environment, we get uncomfortable, and it annoys us because we have certain expectations of what ought to be happening. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we've been talking about what are those revelations that God gives to us that invites us into a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with Him as part of the church. How do we experience that? And we come always to the end of Epiphany. Epiphany always ends with this same scripture passage. This moment, we're talking about the moment of transfiguration. We've come to that moment where Jesus is transfigured on the mountain with his disciples. And I began to think this morning about why that occurs, why it happens that way, why it is that as we make the shift out of Epiphany, it happens at this mountain, and pretty much why is it that this mountaintop experience happened at all? Why is that so central to our understanding of the gospel and our relationship, not only with Jesus, but also with the entire church environment? If you think about your own walk of faith, your own life, you realize that most of what you do is governed by what you expect will happen. And as the disciples came up to face the mountain, and Jesus drew Peter, James, and John up to a higher level, they were invited to come to a place where life was going to change forever. And so this morning, as we come to that mountaintop, I want to invite you to a deeper relationship. I want you to think differently, and I want you to encounter God in a completely different way. Our purpose here this morning is to put away all of those expectations and to encounter God in the purity of who He really is. We do that by opening up the scripture. We're going to find that the disciples went through a process of leaving behind their old ideas of what God was doing and began to embrace a whole new way of life. We also find that this moment in the Gospels is a transition point, particularly in Matthew's Gospel. Up until the moment of transfiguration, people were following Jesus because he was doing everything for them. It was the feeding of the 5,000. There were people that were getting healed. And there were thousands that were following Jesus because they wanted somebody that was going to take care of them, to meet their needs, to do everything that they expected of God and of their faith. But at the moment of transfiguration, life begins to change. And we're going to talk about that. But here's what I want us to think about this morning. In your own journey of faith, in your own struggles with your own faith and your own life, there is a temptation for all of us to say, this is what I want from Jesus. I want a Jesus that will meet me on Sunday morning, not really get too involved during the week, but that will meet my needs. And if I'm sick, he'll be there to heal me. If I have needs, he'll be there to bless me, but doesn't really ask too much of me. Those are our expectations. That's what happens prior to the mountain. After the mountain, things change radically, and a lot of people can't take the reality of who Jesus is. You're here this morning because God has drawn you to this place, to this mountaintop experience, to make that choice for yourself, whether you will follow or whether you will wait for someone else. Let us open up the scriptures this morning and encounter the story as it was told by Matthew, as it happened to Peter, James, and John. Would you join with me as we center our lives on what God is doing? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, may your word stir within all of us. May it clear away the cobwebs and the doubts and the fears. And may it inspire us to see you plainly, clearly, and with hope. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of the Transfiguration is a story of disciples that journeyed out of their comfort zone and experienced Jesus in a completely new way, a way that would shape forever their understanding of the gospel and of themselves. It changed forever what was happening. And I want you to think about your own life expectations of Jesus, what you expect him to be like. One of the first churches I pastored in Pleasance County, above the altar, I don't know if you've ever seen it, above the altar they had one of those pictures of Jesus that was painted back in the 40s. Do you know the kind? Jesus is looking up, the kind of light is on him. There's this guy with the long hair, and his was above the altar because that was their expectation of Jesus, that Jesus was always going to be serene, he was always going to be available, and he was going to take care of their every need. And we often fall into that trap, not only with ourselves, our expectations of what we're supposed to be like. I mean, sometimes we fall into the habit of saying our expectations of normality is to have a small little house, a white picket fence, a 2-car garage, whatever that is. These are our expectations of who we are and how we should succeed. And if it doesn't match up, we are uncomfortable with our lives and how they are being played out. It is our expectations that get in the way of seeing what's really happening around. I want to give you an example, a test, if you will, that might help you think about this later on. This is a very common test for how we develop expectations. If I were to ask you right now, say, okay, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. I'm not going to do this. Look around the room, find everything that is blue. Find everything that is blue. You look around, you find stuff that is blue. Okay, close your eyes. Now tell me what is blue. And you might say, well, there are certain clothes, the stained glass windows, stuff like that. And I say, okay, great. Now with your eyes closed, stay with your eyes closed, tell me everything that you saw that was green. And you will struggle. And the reason is because you didn't ask me to look for blue things. You asked me for blue things. I wasn't looking for them, so I didn't see anything. Or I can't quite pick out what it was that might have been green. And that's what happens. The things that we look for are the things that we find. The things that we want are the things that come to us. We see the world not in its purity as it really is. We see the world as we want it to be. If you look for bad things, you should surely find them. If you look for good things, everything will come alive to you. But the question that we have to ask this morning as we think about our own journey of faith is, as we encounter Jesus, are we encountering our image of Jesus? Or are we encountering the truth? When we look in the mirror, and we see ourselves with all of our faults and foibles and our successes, do we see ourselves as we expect to see it? Or do we see the truth of who we really are? The mountaintop experience is an opportunity to clear all of that away and to see clearly what God is doing. I looked up in the dictionary a definition of expectation. An expectation is the state of looking forward or anticipating something to occur. You look for it. You want it to be that way. Whether it is your faith in God or whether it is your faith in other people or it is the way you expect the church to function. When we think about our relationship to God, it is dominated by our expectations. So the question then becomes, how do we filter that all out? How do we get to what is true? If you think about the story in Matthew's gospel, up until this point, everybody was seeing the blessings of Jesus. Jesus was going to be the Messiah like King David. He was going to come in and kick out the Romans. He was going to supply a bountiful harvest. He was going to even have heart-shaped potatoes. But he was going to do everything that we wanted him to do. He was healing the sick. Is that the kind of truth of what God was really doing? There's more to the story. We have to confront the mountain. The thing that we have to understand is that life is filtered through our expectations. It isn't a question of whether you have them. You have them. The question is how are your expectations shaping your present, your life, and your future? How are your expectations governing what's going on in your life? And the other question is, are they the right expectations to have? Are they true? As the disciples climbed the mountain, there's a couple of things that we can learn from their experience that will forever change their lives and potentially yours. The first thing that you have to realize is you have to climb the mountain. You have to leave the comfort of where you've been, the valleys, where things are nice and easy and simple, and you have to journey up the mountain. You have to be willing to leave the comfort of the familiar to go to the mountaintop. The first thing that they encounter when they get there, as Jesus is transformed before them, is they are confronted with their easy answers. We all have easy answers for church and for Christ. You know, that Christ will meet us for this 1 hour on a Sunday morning. But we don't really look for him the rest of the time. And when the disciples are there, they have an image of who Jesus is. Jesus is a nice guy. He's a Messiah. He's a miracle worker, certainly. But they never see him in that light of transfiguration. And so what does Peter say? What do you say? We build a tent, right? Let's build a tent, Jesus. Let's camp out here. You need some shade. You probably need some protection. And actually, if you read this passage in Mark's gospel, Mark adds a wonderful little phrase because Peter didn't know what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, Mark's gospel, many people believe that Mark got his information directly from Peter. So in many ways, this is Peter giving a jab to himself. I said things that I did not understand. I was too naive. I didn't know what was happening. I just said something. I just did something out of the easy answers. Let's put up a tent. Let's take care. Let's be hospitable. He didn't understand the connection of Jesus with Elijah, one of the greatest old-time prophets. He didn't understand the connection of Jesus with Moses, the lawgiver, that Jesus was bridging that gap between the old and the new. He was casting off the expectations of a military king like King David, and he was entering a different realm. Are you willing to get rid of the easy answers, the simple way of looking at church and of life, and that God is here to build up the church without reaching out to the world? In that moment of transfiguration, Peter couldn't deny that life had changed. And for some people, that transfiguration moment comes at difficult times, when we're transformed out of our ordinary routines and we're invited to experience God at a different, higher level on the mountaintop. But it's there that not only are they confronted by the easy answers, They are also confronted by the truth. See, up until this point, it's kind of a little nebulous, at least for the disciples, who this Jesus character is. I mean, nobody else has been able to do what he can do. The healings, the miracles, water into wine. Nobody's ever done that before. So he's a miracle worker, to be sure, but this Son of God thing is not quite clear. On the mountaintop, it says that his clothes became white. It doesn't say that Moses and Elijah were whiter than white. It says he was whiter than white. He was transfigured. He was transformed. They saw him in a different light. It's that melding together of the physical human reality of Jesus and the divine spiritual nature of God in man. He saw him completely differently. We see the truth. And in that divine light, guess what else we get to see? Us. In light, we see who we are. We see the truth of our fallen reality. We see the brokenness, we see the despair, but we also see the hope. In that moment, we hear a voice. And what's interesting about this, it's a voice was heard, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is a passage that comes right out of Jesus' baptism with John the Baptist. It is, in many respects, the second baptism into his spiritual journey, what is going to transform for the rest of the story. What is really happening is what Matthew is doing is he's kind of putting bookends. The first baptism began his physical ministry. The second transfiguration baptism begins his spiritual journey to Jerusalem. Up until this point, everybody was excited about Jesus because he was able to do whatever it is that they wanted. He could heal people, raise people from the dead. Up until this point, he starts coming back saying, "Now comes the time for you to pick up your cross and follow me." It becomes a lot harder. But we see the truth. And no longer can we deny that he's just a really nice guy. That's an option that isn't open to us any longer. He's either God and man. He's Jesus. And finally, we come to another reality. We don't just do away with the easy answers because now we have to embrace the hard questions, the hard truth of who Jesus is. We are confronted when Jesus tells his disciples they've experienced this mountaintop experience. They have seen Jesus in his purity and his wonder, and they are so excited. And then he says, but don't tell anybody until you've seen the Son of Man raised from the dead. This is the first time that we've started to hear the whole death metaphor. The Son of Man will be. Who entered that into the story? If you remember later on, earlier, James and John, their mother, goes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, can you have one of our sons sit on one hand? When you create your cabinet of your new administration, when you take over the Romans, we want one to be in power and the other one to be on the other side." But all of a sudden, Jesus starts talking about, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to pick up your cross. And guess what happened? All of those people that were waiting for the miracles in the bottom, they faded away. That's not what they had signed up. That wasn't part of their expectation. They wanted an easy faith, something that would take care of them and give them everything that they had ever expected. So when he starts talking about, let's talk about discipleship, I'm not interested in that. And they go looking for something better, another program, another ministry, another opportunity. We have to face the hard question. Being a Christian in this time and in this culture means sometimes doing the hard work of a disciple. It means picking up your cross and following. It means going the extra mile. It means moving from the mountaintop where everything is pure and clean and wholesome into the muck and the mire of the valley below in order to redeem those that will come, of sharing your story, of offering hope, of living redemptively. So how do we do that? How do we begin to clear away all of the expectations that seem to surround us of what life is really supposed to be like? How can we do that? How do we see in a mountaintop experience what God is really doing? We can do that a couple of different ways. The first thing to do is to do a Bible study. It's in the Bible that God has written it down. And in Bible study, we learn not only what the world is, what it truly is, but also what it could be. How many of you, whenever you got married, or you had grandparents or something, when you got married, you got one of them big Bibles, right? Just those big honker things. That what you do is you kind of put it on a shelf, and whenever somebody from the church stops by, you pull it out, you dust it off, and maybe you even open it, like you sit there every day like this, reading this big old Bible, right? We often do that, because for many times, the Bible has become an ornament, not a living text that shapes our lives. Wayne Cordero wrote a wonderful book. It's called The Divine Mentor. And in the book, he talks about how the Bible is really mentoring us. If you had a coach or a mentor, the Bible is there to explain to you the reality of the life that you're living and the destiny that lies before you. And he invites us into a deeper Bible study to experience what God is doing. Clear away all of the noise from the media, from the culture in which you live, and say, this is what's really going on. If you have a Bible, open it up and discover how God interacts with his people through the ages. Join a study, talk to people about what is happening, but engage in understanding the truth of the mountaintop experience. The second thing that you can do is be a part of worship every Sunday. See, this is the temptation that on a beautiful Sunday morning, sun is out. What is the temptation? I don't want to go to the mountaintop today. It tells us that only three of the disciples went with Jesus to the mountaintop and experienced the wonder and the grandeur. In this worship experience, there is a moment of wonderment and experience the holiness of God that comes and connects with us in worship. As we become vulnerable, as we open up ourselves to the grace of God that wraps its arms around us, as we see God expressing itself through the smiles and through the embrace of those that are gathered around us, we experience transcendency to a different plane. The holiness of God touches our lives. It is here the transfiguration occurs and Christ becomes real. Whether it's through the sacraments or through the sharing of the word or through a moment of prayer or song, God comes and says, I am with you. And finally, through service, we combine the two. If we're motivated, if we're stirred, it became important for the disciples to leave the mountain and say, I have learned something. I've experienced something. It becomes synergistically, God combines the word with the passion of worship, and it expresses itself in joy. Joy that overflows, whether it's in a song or whether it's working with our hands, it's embracing the world. When we can combine those three, the expectations that the world has of God and of the church will fade away in the brilliance of Christ's presence. So the question that remains, what are your expectations, and are they getting in the way of your ongoing experience of Jesus? At this moment, at the mountaintop, you have to confront the questions. And in the questions, God will lead you to a deeper place. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day and for the wonder of your word and the power it has in our lives. Work within us, O God, to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.